Well, you're welcome back to Westside Baptist Church this morning as we continue our series in the book of John, That You May Believe. We're picking up our story in John chapter 6 and reading from verse 25 this morning. When they found him, that is Jesus, on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." When they asked him, "What must we to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." I wonder if you've ever been served a meal and afterwards you are still hungry. There are some restaurants that we go to, I can name one in particular, where the main course is so big that there's no way you could even consider having a starter or a dessert. But there are other places we go, and we know that unless you have a starter, main course and dessert, you're going to be going away hungry. Yet it doesn't matter which one you have, that large main course or all three courses, no matter how full you are, you can be guaranteed that the next morning you're going to be hungry again. We may sit back in our seats and say, "I couldn't eat another thing." But you can be sure that that feeling of contentment won't last very long at all. Well, that's exactly what has happened here in John chapter 6. A vast crowd of people have been miraculously fed by Jesus, so that we're told in verse 12, they all had enough to eat. And we know that doesn't mean just enough to get away their hunger, because there were baskets and baskets of food left over. They had been completely satisfied. They lay back on the grass and say, "I couldn't eat another thing." But the next morning comes quickly. They're hungry again and they're looking for Jesus. But instead of giving them more food, Jesus will point them beyond food to what Dick Lucas helpfully outlines as the Father's work, the Father's gift, and the Father's will. Because there is something that they need far more than their next meal. In verses 26 to 29, Jesus first focuses on the Father's work. Now, when I say the Father's work, I don't mean the work that the Father does, but rather the work that the Father wants us to do. This conversation arises because Jesus doesn't beat around the bush. He gets straight to the point in verse 26. "Very truly I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." Maybe that's how mothers feel when their hungry families start to congregate around the kitchen when it gets close to a mealtime. "You're not looking for me, you're only looking for your next meal." Well, this sign, miraculously feeding this vast crowd of people, was meant to point people to the identity of Jesus. Here is the prophet like Moses from Deuteronomy 18, one who will speak God's words and to whom God's people will listen. But they cannot see beyond the miracle itself. They are missing the reality that the sign is pointing to. They ate and were satisfied, and now they are hungry again, and all they're thinking about is their next meal. We are so often focused on food that spoils. Just like the crowd who had followed Jesus on this particular day, we cannot see beyond our immediate needs to our ultimate need. We, like they, can be spiritually nearsighted. So Jesus commands, verse 27, do not work for food that spoils. That's how it is with all food. It spoils. You buy your fruit and you put it in the fruit bowl, but if it isn't eaten, it's not long before it shows signs of spoiling. Even canned foods have expiry dates. Food spoils. It's temporary. It doesn't last. So Jesus warns the crowd, do not work for food that spoils. Don't be spiritually nearsighted. Don't work only for what is temporary. Look beyond your immediate needs to your ultimate need. Take a moment to examine your prayers. Are they spiritually nearsighted? Are they focused only on your immediate needs rather than your ultimate need? Now, Jesus taught his disciples to bring their immediate needs to their Father in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. But he taught us to pray much bigger prayers than that. He taught us to pray for more than our immediate needs. The forgiveness of sins, that we be able to forgive others, that we would not be easily led into temptation, that we would be deeply aware that we have an enemy of our souls, that we would pray for the extension of God's kingdom on the earth. These are bigger prayers. These are prayers that see beyond our immediate needs to our ultimate need. Now, of course, this crowd did come to Jesus. But Josh Moody writes, what looks like spiritual desires are really only basic material desires. Yes, you come to God. Yes, you pray. But if your prayers never get beyond your immediate needs to your ultimate need, then they are only basic material desires made to look like spiritual desires. Now, rather than looking for food that spoils, Jesus encourages this crowd to seek food that endures to eternal life. The bread that they had received the day before and the bread that they are seeking again today may sustain physical life for one more day, but nothing more than that. Again, Josh Moody writes, humans were made for more than the material. There is a food, Jesus says, that does not spoil. There is a food, Jesus says, that does more than prolong physical life. There is a food that endures to eternal life. This is the food that they should put all of their effort into seeking. And this is the very food that Jesus is offering them on this day. Not the food that spoils, but the food that endures to eternal life. This is the food, Jesus says, which the Son of Man will give you. Verse 27. Just as Jesus had given them physical bread the day before, food that spoils, so Jesus can give them this food that endures to eternal life. Now, some people are not very good at accepting a gift. How many disputes have taken place at the counter of coffee shops all around the country with two different people both insisting on paying? Well, we sometimes get over the dispute by saying, well, you paid last time, or you can pay next time. We can find it so hard to accept a gift as a gift without repayment, without having to do something to warrant it or to repay it? Well, that's how it is with the crowd here. They ask in verse 28, what must we do to do the works God requires? Naturally, they think that they must do something in order to get eternal life. We have to earn it. We must deserve it. We cannot accept it as God's gift to give. It was the question that the rich young ruler asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It's the very same question that the crowds are asking here. What must we do to do the works God requires? But the Father's work, the work that God requires, is simply that you believe in Jesus. Perhaps you've been invited to someone's house for a meal. You ask, what can I bring? And they say, you just need to bring yourself. What do you contribute? Absolutely nothing. You're simply turning up to receive what someone else has got ready for you. This is the only work that you must do. And that's Jesus' point in verse 29. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. The Father's work is not doing anything. The Father's work is believing in the one he has sent. Let's go back to that invitation for a minute, that invitation to someone else's home. You simply need to turn up and enjoy the meal. All the work has been done by someone else. Someone else has gone out and brought in all of the food that is needed for the meal. Someone else has put the thought into what they are going to serve. Someone else has spent time preparing the meal and washing up the dishes. Not only that, someone else has tidied the house and got it ready for your arrival. Someone else has done all of that, so when you arrive, you don't need to do anything at all. Just bring yourself, they said, and they meant it. You see, this food that endures to eternal life is the Father's gift. But instead of simply receiving the Father's gift by faith, this crowd are looking for more signs, verse 30. In fact, they have no problem telling Jesus what it is they want him to do. Do what Moses did, verse 61. Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. In fact, they can even quote Psalm 78 to Jesus. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. But they are much more like their ancestors than they realize. Psalm 78 is not just about God's miraculous provision for his people, but about their response of unbelief. In spite of all that God had done, they still would not believe God. They would not trust God. Now God is giving them true bread from heaven, verse 33. And yet just like their ancestors, they will not believe, verse 36. The bread that God had given through Moses had sustained them all the way through the wilderness wandering until they entered into the land of promise. Now this true bread from heaven is what they really need if they're to enter into the eternal life, which is the Father's gift. Verse 32, the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. If they're expecting more bread, literal bread, they're going to be disappointed. Because this true bread from heaven is a person. Verse 35, I am the bread of life, Jesus says. He has come from heaven so that by his death he might give life to the world. As we approach Christmas, this is the very truth that we celebrate. One that Cecil Francis Alexander penned so well. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. Jesus is the true bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Now, in order to give this life to the world, Jesus himself would have to suffer death. He would need to face the wrath of God against human sin, so that he would never, so that we would never need to experience the just anger of God towards our sin. He would have to suffer the rejection of God upon the cross, so that we would never need to face the eternal rejection of God in hell. Jesus is the true bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And this true bread from heaven satisfies completely. The problem with the manna in the wilderness was that it didn't satisfy. The next day you woke up hungry again, and it didn't keep, it spoiled. Do you remember what happened when they tried to store something from the day before? It rotted, it didn't keep. It looked more like something from a Bush Tucker trial. It smelled rotten and was filled with maggots. So whether they wanted to or not, they had to gather more. 6 days of the week, every week of the year, for 40 years, it didn't satisfy. Now look at Jesus' words in verse 35. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never go thirsty. Here is bread that satisfies completely. And at this point, it has to be clear that Jesus is not speaking literally. Because this bread of which he speaks not only satisfies hunger, it satisfies thirst. In other words, it satisfies completely. Isn't that the very thing that Jesus told the woman at the well? Everyone who drinks this water, he said, will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I give will never thirst. Jesus satisfies completely. Not our immediate needs, but our ultimate need. He does everything that is needed to secure for us eternal life. This is the Father's gift, true bread from heaven, bread that doesn't spoil, bread that satisfies completely, the true bread that gives life to the world, life that really matters, eternal life, a gift to be received by faith, a gift that is not earned, a gift that is not deserved, a gift that could never be repaid. The Father's gift of his own Son. Jesus has spoken about the Father's work and the Father's gift. Now he turns to the Father's will. You'll see that this dominates the final verses that we read this morning. Verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Verse 39, "And this is the will of him who sent me." Verse 40, "For my Father's will." So what is the Father's will? It is to give to Jesus a people. Look at verse 37. "All those the Father gives me will come to me." Or again in verse 39, Jesus refers to all those he has given me. This is what it means to be a Christian. If you're a follower of Jesus, the Father has given you to his Son. You belong to him. You're a Christ one, one who belongs to Jesus. But it means even more than that. An invitation has gone out. God has given the gift of his Son, the true bread from heaven. But the religious leaders still do not believe in Jesus. So Jesus says, verse 37, "All those the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." Jesus will not reject anyone who comes to him. But we would never desire to follow Jesus except that the Father first gives us to Jesus. It's what theologians call effectual calling, and it means exactly what Jesus says here: all that the Father gives me will come to me. You see, the Father's will is to give to Jesus a people whom he will keep safe for eternal life. Verse 39, this is the will of him who sent me, that I will lose none of all those he has given me, but will raise them up at the last day. Now, maybe you're one of those people who have a tendency to lose things. You put your hat on the roof of the car and you drive off forgetting that you put it there. Or you mislay things. You put something somewhere safe so that you could find it later, but now you can't remember where that safe place was that you put it. We lose things even when we're trying to keep them safe. Jesus loses none of those whom the Father has given to him. If we've been given to Jesus by the Father, if we have come to him in faith, we belong to him, and he will keep us safe for eternal life and raise us up at the last day to enjoy eternal life, real life, and a new heavens and earth, because Jesus loses none that the Father has given to him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the wonderful security that these verses provide, that if we are trusting in Jesus, we have been given to Jesus by the Father, and Jesus will keep us safe for eternal life. Father, we recognize that this is your gift, that it's not something we have deserved, it's not something we've earned. In actual fact, we deserve the very opposite. We deserved your condemnation. We deserve to face your judgment. We deserve to come under your fierce anger against sin. But Father, we thank you that Jesus stood in our place and took all that we deserved upon himself. Father, may we grasp then that this is our ultimate need. And we pray that as pressing as our immediate needs might be, that they would never become the ultimate thing that we seek. Father, help us to be those who don't work for food that spoils, who don't live only for what is temporary, but instead help us to live as those who are seeking those things which are eternal. And we ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.